Yeah, if you've never been here and done this, you might understand one day.
Brother Cliff, I appreciate you. That was good. All right.
We've been looking at the 23rd Psalm, trying to wrap that thing up. Pretty good while. We're down in verse number 5. You can be turning back to 1 Samuel chapter 16 if you want to, because we're going to be over there mainly. But down here in verse number 5 of Psalm 23, the Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." And that's the verse we've been dealing with. And, you know, we've looked there at the preparation that the Lord makes and the provision that He gives, and we've looked at His presence. And we come down to that part where it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." And what we see here is the purpose, is that there's a purpose for each and every one of us. And we understand that David had some special purposes in his life. But I venture to say that you have special purposes in your life too, especially if you're one of His sheep. And so as we look, thought on this, I wanted to look at 1 Samuel 16. So hopefully you're there, and I'll get there right here in just a second. I forget where the books are at in my Bible when I'm up here. So 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I want to read these verses again. First Samuel 16. It says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." So the first thing that we talked about last week is that there's some confusion when it comes to God's anointing. Man does not know or understand who God is anointing.
That's right.
And only God knows. It's not for you to say, and it's not for me to say. In fact, if you were to flip over to 2 Samuel, I think it's about chapter 2, verse 8, you'll find that they took a fellow by the name of Ishbosheth, maybe how you say that, and anointed him king over Israel.
Right.
And that was absolutely not God's desire. But man did it. But God had anointed David to be king. So we see that there's confusion. Man doesn't know. Verse 7 goes on. It says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." So not only was there confusion, but there's a condition. You see, man looks on the outward appearance, but the condition that God cares about is the condition of the heart. God looks on the inside. He doesn't look at your outside. I mean, He wants you to be dressed right and all those things. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to picking somebody for the anointing, for His service, guess what? He's looking at what's on the inside.
Yes.
So there's condition. Let's go on. It says in verse 8, it says, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for I will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And so there we see the choice that God makes. God does the choosing, not man. And so then we go down to verse 13. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And so we'll stop the reading right there. But so we've seen that there's confusion, there's a condition, there's a choice. But I want you to notice the change that we find in verse 13. That the Bible says that the day that David was anointed, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Mm-hmm. That's right. Would you agree that that's a change in the life of David? Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd ever understood the presence of God as much as he did from that day going forward. And as I thought on this and compared it to our lives, because I want to make everything that we look at practical, you know, if you're born again, we've talked about it. You are anointed of the Lord. You were anointed the day that you received the Holy Ghost. And as the Spirit came upon him from that day forward, 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. There was a day that if you got born again, the Holy Ghost got put on the inside of you. And you were made a child of God. You were anointed. He that hath anointed us, the Bible says, that is Christ. He's given us His Spirit. But it wasn't just that the Spirit moved in, but if you've been born again, there was a change made. And the Bible goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, flip there with me. It's very important that you see this. Second Corinthians 5:17. Down through verse 21. I want to show you some of the things that should change for every believer. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so just in this passage, I found eight changes that occur in the life of the believer. And the first one I want you to notice, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, the first thing I see is you get a change of captain. You see, there was a time that you were your own captain.
Sure.
But the day that the Holy Ghost moves in, you get a new captain. The Bible says over in Hebrews, he's the captain of your salvation. And so the captain that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if you got born again and you were anointed, so to speak, of the Holy Ghost, you got a new captain as well. But it goes on to say,
He is a new creature. So not only did you get a new captain, but you got a new composition.
Sure.
You're made of something different than you were before.
Thank God for that.
You see, there was a day that there was an old nature, and that's all I was made up of. Just this old flesh that was condemned to die, deserving of death, deserving of hell.
Absolutely.
But you see, the Bible says if we're born again, we're made new creatures in Christ. That means he did something that changed our composition, Brother Kevin. He put something new down in the inside and changed it. So I'm no longer just an old creature, but I'm a new creation. And I don't know how he does it all, but I know that he does it, and I'm thankful that he does. So we find that we have a new captain, we have a new composition. But then he goes on to say, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. So we got a new course as well.
There was
a day that we went after the old way, the old life, the old man. But you see, from that day, going forward, my course was forever changed. Aren't you thankful if you've ever been born again that God put you on a new course?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He got rid of the old ways, the old life. I'm not saying you're perfect, but man, once you turn to Christ, there's something that changes that lasts for eternity.
That's right. Thank God for it.
And I'm thankful for the new course that we got. And I'm fixated on getting and heading toward heaven. And I'm directed toward Christ. That's what I'm interested in. And so that just leads us right into the next thing. I'll try to get through these real quickly. All things are of God. Then he says, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So now my cares have changed too. You know, I used to not care about anything of God. But when I got born again, my cares changed. You see, he has given him a ministry, or given us the ministry, the Bible says, of reconciliation. That tells me that you and I have a new care. We ought to care about the reconciling of souls. We ought to be interested in reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what your care should be after you get born again. It's all about our purpose. But he goes on to say, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their righteousnesses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So not only do we change our cares, but then he says he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Not only all those other things, but your commitment changes also. So I was committed to the things of the world. But because he's committed this word to me, Joshua, you and I are committed to getting that word out.
That's
it's
right.
A new commitment that we have. The Lord Jesus changes our commitment. Goes on to say, it says, now then, we are. You notice that terminology?
Yeah.
We are.
Hey.
It says, we are ambassadors for Christ. So I got in a new company, a we company that I was not in before.
Yeah.
You understand that? The day that you got born again, your citizenship changed.
That's
your fellowship
right.
changed.
Right.
Hey, we got put in a people who we weren't a people.
Right.
But now we are the people of God.
Hey.
I got new company. That's not now, if you're born again, you can say, we are. We're part of a new company.
Right.
But not only is it just a we thing, but there's a purpose. There's a commission also. It says now that we are ambassadors for Christ. So our commission is to be an ambassador. We're to reach souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to represent heaven on earth. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are commissioned to be the ambassadors for Christ. But then lastly, in verse 21, the change that he made says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So also I find a change of my condition. My condition in the eyes of the Lord, there was a time that I was separate. I was headed for hell, Jesse. And you were too. Some of you may still be. But you get born again today, guess what? Your condition in the eyes of God changes. And you become righteous, not because of anything you did, but because of what he did. Because he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So there's your eight quick changes that all occur instantly, Joe. That's not all the change that occurs. That's just scratching the surface. But you're a new creature in Christ. And that's all because the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes upon a life and makes a change, Brother Jeff. You say, well, I don't feel no different. Well, this thing's not based on feelings. But if you're not different, there is something wrong, Brother Jerry. That's right. That's right. So I appreciate the change that God makes in the life of His people. But not only is there a change, but I want you to notice in, if you go back and you look, 1 Samuel 16, we find that's where God told Samuel to anoint David. It's my understanding, Jeff, that it was around 15 years from the time that he received that anointing of God, the time he became king. So I don't know if that's before he became king of Judah or Israel. I'm not really sure. I didn't look at that. But I know that it was several years. But if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4, we can flip there and read it just so you see it. Second Samuel chapter 2, verse 4 says, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And then if you go on down to verse 8, you'll see what I was talking to you about earlier. It says, but Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim and made him king over Gilead and over the Asherites and over the Jezreel and over Ephraim and over Benjamin and over all Israel. So there you go. That's what I was talking about earlier. In man's eyes, it's different than God's eyes. There's a difference. There's confusion. But God had anointed David to be king. But you see here, the men of Hebron made David king in Judah, but men made Ish-bosheth king over Israel. But if you flip on over to chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3, it says, so all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. So David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. And Hebron reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And so not only do we see that we've had confusion and condition and a choice and a change, but I want you to notice the calendar. God's timing and man's timing are two different things.
That's right.
And I just can imagine, Kevin, David was special. But I just imagine during that time period when Saul was still king, but David had been anointed to be king. But there was a time period there that David wondered, is this ever going to end? He was constantly having to look and worry about his life. And it was a miserable time of life for him. He was constantly trying to be killed by the king. And so in his mind, he's thinking, Lord, you showed me my purpose a long time ago. Where's that purpose right now? And it wasn't until years later till it came to actual fruition. And so I hope you understand in your heart today that God's timing and man's timing are two absolutely different things. And just because, let's just say you've got a purpose in your life that God has called you to, just because it don't take place immediately, do not assume that God's not working in that thing. It may take years for God to accomplish what He wants to accomplish with you.
Just stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Right? The Bible still says that. Right, Brother Stephen? So we know that his timing is different than ours. And I don't know why it took so long. Most of the time it has to do with man's hearts just not being right where God wants them to be. But I just know that his timing is different. And so just be aware that God is working in spite of what we see and in spite sometimes of what we feel. But it does not negate the fact that you are one of his anointed just because you don't see things happen in the time that you expect. And, you know, the main thing is to know that you're born again. And if you know that you are, then you know his hand is upon you and that you have a purpose in this thing. And it's just our job to be faithful, Brother Joe. And let God do God's business and bring things about in his time. You remember, I believe it was Abraham and Sarah decided to take things into their own hands. They tried to do things in their time instead of God's time. What did it do? It caused some problems, didn't it? It caused a lot of problems. Problems that we still see today. Problems. So let's not take things in our time. Let's let God do things in his. That's what being anointed is about. Is knowing that God has a purpose for you. And if you're saved, he's got a purpose for you, every person in here. But what you see come to pass may be in his time and not your time. And I hope that encourages some hearts today, because it's easy for us to get discouraged in this thing, feeling like we're just doing the same things over and over and over, and never seeing anything come to pass. But if we're faithful, if we just keep on, keeping on, doing what we know to do. Remember that if you're saved, you are one of the anointed of God. God's got a purpose, and he's going to bring it to pass. You just got to be willing to let him do that work. And don't try to take it into your own hands, because you will make a mess of it. So with that, we'll move on Psalm 23, verse 5. To how much time do we got? I know we only had just like 20 minutes there. Huh? We're out of time? Amen. Well, that was a quick one this morning. But I appreciate it. So I appreciate everybody's attention. We'll